We're going to be quoting and sharing today a couple comments of the Sfarno. So I thought it would be worthwhile to speak about the Sfarno and his Perush on Chumash. I think it's very, very important and helpful to know a couple of things about this. If you open up any standard Mikros Gedolos or any of the Sfarim, or a classic, you know, many Sfarim with collections of Rishonim on Chumash, so you'll find one of the Perushim is the Perush of the Sfarno. The Sfarno is well known and has a lot of important things to say throughout his commentary on Chumash. I thought it'd be worthwhile to speak about some of the unique elements of the Sfarno's Perush on Chumash. A lot of this is based on the Oz V'Hadar has a 5-volume edition of the Sfarno. So beginning of Chelik Aleph, they have a Mavo where they go through some of the Kalim of the Sfarno Sefer on Chumash and how he writes it. And I thought it would be intriguing to work off of it. The first is as follows. Fundamentally, although we'll see not entirely, but fundamentally the Sfarno, at least the Netziv and others put him in the category of the Mefarshi HaPshat. If you look at his Sfarno, even before you read anything, it tends to not be the longest of pieces. A lot of what he's trying to do is to explain what is taking place in the Psukim themselves. He, in a way which is similar to the Ramban, he certainly appears to be influenced by the Ramban, although, as they point out here, he never mentions the names of any other Perushim when he's writing his own Perush of the Sfarno. He doesn't tell you this is a Ramban or this is a that. But he's influenced by the Ramban in a variety of different ways. One of the ways we are familiar with is the Gemara tells him, Sachem and Davav, Ein Mukta Muchar Batorah. So as opposed to Rashi that very liberally invokes the phrase of Ein Mukta Muchar Batorah, the Sfarno uses that only when there's really like no other option. Only when there's no other way is he comfortable invoking the klal of Ein Mukta Muchar Batorah. In general also, in his world of explaining the Pshat, they point out here something which I think is fascinating, is that different Rishonim relate to the Trup in different ways as far as explaining the Pshat. Many Mefarshim understand if you want to explain the Pasuk, your explanation of the Pasuk has to divide the Pasuk up the same way that the Trup divided and structured the actual Pasuk. In that sense, the Sfarno is somewhat unique. Rabbeinu Eino Mechuyav Beperusho L'Tameh HaMikra Upamim Rabos, again, this Hakdama to the Oz V'Hadar there, that he's not bound at all by the Trup in that way. And many times, he explains the Pasuk in a little bit of an innovative way that is not tied as clearly to the actual way it's classically read as far as the Trup goes. Despite being one of the, I guess you would say, classic Mefarshi HaPshat, the Sfarno happens to be unique for a couple of reasons. He does expand beyond Pshat in a couple of different directions. First of all, he does use Chazal a lot, although, and I think this is fascinating, apparently they point out here in the introduction that even when he uses Chazal, there are sometimes where he's comfortable to have a fit with the Pshat more, like use like most of the Maimar Chazal, and then like mess it a little bit in order to fit it better with the Pshat. Meaning he's using ideas that come from Chazal, but he's comfortable in explaining the Pasuk to begin with those ideas from Chazal, but to then sort of use them and guide them into understanding the Pasuk, into understanding the Pasuk itself. He also does relate to topics of Emunah, and very much looking for the messages that are going to emerge. But I think one of the more intriguing comments of relating to the Sfarno, again, by that I mean it's one of the ones that I remember coming across years ago and being struck by it. There's a sefer called Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg on Chinuch. Rabbi Weinberg was Rashiva of Ner Yisrael, a very sort of intriguing and out-of-the-box kind of a thinker. And he often had these question and sessions about Nyani Chinuch at Torah Masorah conventions, other kinds of places. And they wrote up his answers to different questions. So the whole section here of Chinuch HaBanos, of Talmud Torah for women. So Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, full disclosure, was not the biggest fan of women learning Torah Shebaal Peh. Has some very, I think, thought-provoking lines about it. But when he was talking about not learning Torah Shebaal Peh, so one of the questions was, does this mean that when you teach girls Chumash, you should do it without any commentaries? Again, we're talking about the Maskana, about what he says about it, but what he says about the Sfarno, I think is intriguing. He says, no, I think you can teach girls who are learning Rashi, albeit in somewhat of a superficial way. I wouldn't be osik too much in the Mamre Chazal they bring. Okay, fine, that's his perspective. He said, but you also have Rav Hirsch and Sfarno. You cannot do better than Sfarno. It is filled with, meaning beyond Pshat, if you learn Sfarno, you see this, is filled with midos, hashkafa, and wisdom. It brings out the essence of the moral drives of the Torah. It is an amazing sefer for both boys and girls. That the sefer Sfarno it's interesting to know when you look at sometimes like the shorter ones, we assume it's just pshat. There are a lot of beautiful insights and beautiful ideas at the Sfarno highlights. He's very sensitive to the idea when you're learning Chumash, what is the message of this particular pasuk? What is it that I can learn from this? How exactly does it become relevant? The Sfarno does appear to have been an expert in the world of halacha as well. And he does have certain comments on Chumash that are very much relevant to the world of halacha and at times lamdas, although not necessarily directly. A case in point is going to be shared today. We're going to quote a couple of Sfarnos about the nature of Karban Pesach and why it's offered when it's offered, which is going to be based on halacha and will impact lamdas very directly. And there are a variety of achronim even who pick up on this Sfarno and quote this Sfarno in the context of some of the lamdas taking place here. It relates to a bunch of different sugyas about Karban Pesach. And in that sense, it's not just like a standard like explaining the meaning of words, but the Sfarno is a very, very important paper on Chumash, a very important one for us to be familiar with and for us to be aware of. And I think it's, you know, it's kedai sometimes. There are people that go through it more systematically, but you'll see some beautiful ideas sometimes in the Sfarno, and it's important to understand like that's what he does. He gives you lots of very, very beautiful ideas. What's intriguing is that because he doesn't really quote people by name, even though he's working off of people. So when you're learning, let's say, a sugya, you'll sometimes see a Sfarno, and you'll see how it's, you know, basically the same as someone else. He often, though, does have his netziv rights in general, about many of the Rishonim in his parish on Chumash. You know, same way Chazal say that two Nevi'im are never prophesized in the exact same Lashon. So too with Pirushim and Chumash, you'll see subtle differences sometimes in the way that the Sfarno gives it over, in ways which I think are very, very important. So certainly it is kedai and worthwhile to be aware of the Sfarno's Perish on Chumash. There are other Sfarim also. We referenced earlier this year, Sefer Kavanas HaTorah, where he has like a larger discussion about some of these issues there. And there he actually does quote the Ramban. We happen to actually know very, very little about him. He never quotes his Rebbeim. We don't know who his Rebbeim are. We don't really know a whole lot about the Sfarno. But we know he wrote a fantastic Sefer on Chumash and on some other things also about the Sfarno. So that's good to know and be familiar with the Sfarno in general, especially because we will be quoting it today.